Well, good morning, everyone. That was a great home for Exodus. Thanks for picking that. So, may your love and joy abound and fill me with your peace. So, this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about joy. So, my talk this morning is titled, Did You Know That Joy Is Mandatory? And it's a title I borrowed from Brother Robert Prince, although we're going to take a slightly different angle. But his was a fairly good talk. So from this title alone, you can probably see where I'm going to go with this. But come along with me on the journey as we look into joy. So about a year ago, I gave an exhort on inner peace. And I started the talk with the thought, when something is mentioned over and over and over, it's probably an important topic. And it highlights something important to us. So just like inner peace, it turns out that joy is actually mentioned far more than this idea of inner peace. So let's start by considering the fruits of the Spirit for a moment. From Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And the order of the fruits is very interesting. And I believe Paul knew exactly what he was doing by saying them in this order. So humour me for a moment, and let's just assume that the order is important. Love, of course, is first on the list, and we don't need any explanation as to why that's the most important. But the second one on the list is joy. So you might say, why is joy of all things higher on the list than the rest of these amazing fruits of the Spirit? Well, that's a great question, I'm pleased you asked. Because that's exactly what I want to look at this morning. So, quickly moving through the rest of the list. Love, with joy, naturally leads to peace, the third fruit of the Spirit, which leads to patience, and so on. And by the time we get to the end of the list, gentleness and self-control, they come naturally as a result of showing love, joy, peace, and so on. So back to the question, why is joy mentioned second only to love in Galatians 5? Well, let's consider James 1 verse 2. The very first thing James says in this wonderful letter is, Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So this verse says it all, doesn't it? We know that every one of us, we all suffer various trials in life, but we know that these trials, they shape us, they refine us. And if we face them with the right attitude, they will build us up and bring us closer to God's character and to his Son, who we seek to imitate. So, there's another example in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18. Paul gives a simple set of commands about joy. He says, Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of Christ Jesus for you. We are commanded to rejoice always, not sometimes, not just in the good times, but rejoice in all circumstances. In another example, from Philippians 4 verses 4, Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. And in Romans 12 verse 12, Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be consistent in prayer. And there's many more examples we could turn up, but we'll stick with those for now. So we're commanded to be joyful. You could say that it's almost a sin not to be joyful. It's mandatory for our daily life. And it's also mandatory for preaching. So we're commanded to preach often, aren't we? And one major avenue of preaching is going out and proclaiming our God's word. But the other equally important factor in preaching is showing the joy that we have in our lives, just in our normal day-to-day tasks. And that's joy we have because of the God we serve and our faith in the promises he has for us and for the earth. So when others see that joy, it's an incredible act of preaching, isn't it? They see that our lives are much different than many others around us. And they'll often ask, why? Why are you like this? And it opens up an opportunity for us to preach. Especially when things go wrong in our lives, and against all odds, we still somehow have this little bit of joy. So, we now have a rough idea of of joy and why it's mandatory. But where does joy come from? And what should we have joy in? Well, let's consider the words of a very wise man, Solomon, one of the wisest men that's lived. And in Ecclesiastes, he talks about life without God, and specifically in Ecclesiastes 9, verses 7 through 10. I'm just going to read that out. "Go, eat your bread with joy, and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do. Let your garments be always white, let not oil be lacking on your head. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love, all the days of your vain life that he has given you under the sun, because that is the portion in life and in your toil at which you toil under the sun. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going." Now these are wonderful things, aren't they? Solomon's talked about, but without God, all these things, they're meaningless. We live and we die, and what real lasting joy is there in that? So, with that in mind, from Psalms 16, verses 11, it tells us where we can find overflowing joy. And listen closely, because even though we know this already, it's one of the fundamental pillars of our lives in God. So, Psalms 16, verses 11. "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." So, let's look at a few tips about joy from the Bible and from some research and observations. So, taking a real quick dive into joy and happiness. In our brains, from studies in biology and psychology, did you know that God's created our bodies in such an amazing way that certain actions and mental triggers can create chemical reactions in our brains that create a temporary fulfillment or happiness? Now, you've probably heard of these before. The big four. So we have dopamine, we have oxytocin, we have endorphins, and we have serotonin. So we're just going to run through some of these. So positive dopamine, it's triggered by achieving a goal or getting sufficient sleep. Oxytocin is generated by socializing with others and helping others. Endorphins are generated from exercise, laughter, and music. And lastly, serotonin is generated in our bodies by mindfulness, or by thinking, being thankful for our many blessings, and by getting sunlight and being in nature. So this last one I just want to focus on. Being in God's creation, away from the troubles of life, is incredibly beneficial to us, especially on the sunny days. Being in nature, it's healing for our minds, and more so when we're weighed down with different struggles and stresses in life. What was it that Jesus did when he was worn down and needed a break to recharge and re-energize? Well, we read in Mark 6, verse 46, and from the other parallel accounts, we know that he walked beside the Sea of Galilee and went up on a mountain to be alone in God's presence, in his creation, to pray. So all of these different chemical reactions we've talked about, they do bring a temporary sense of happiness or joy. But if we have them on a regular basis, they help us in maintaining a longer lasting state of joy. So, we read in Luke, in fact, the Luke portion of the daily readings this morning, we have the section on the Lord's Prayer. And just after Jesus gave that instruction, he continued on with some advice, which is directly applicable to joy. So in Luke 11, verses 9 through 13, we read, "And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask for it?" So, Our Lord Jesus instructs us to lay our troubles before God, to keep asking for his guidance in our ways, and to never stop, because our God listens, and it's our persistent show of faith and prayer that brings us closer to him. So, this also ties in with Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, by laying our troubles before God and taking on the teaching of his son Jesus, we can share the weight from our shoulders with our God, and it becomes just a little bit easier to work through the troubles we have in life. Okay, so how do we go on keeping joy? Well, it turns out that joy, it's a deep-rooted thing in our subconscious. We can trigger temporary joy or happiness with certain actions, as we've looked at. But we can't just flip on a joy switch one day and force ourselves to be joyful all the time. That just doesn't work. Rather, joy is a state of body and mind. And we know from Paul that our conscious mind is willing, but our flesh and our subconscious is often weak. And research suggests that the average person, research suggests that the average person spends about 5% of the day being actively conscious and making decisions, and that the majority of the actions we perform are actually performed by our subconscious. Now, it's a bit of a scary thought, but it makes sense, thinking through the tasks we do during the day, and the things we remember, and the things we actually do automatically. So, if we spend so much time in the subconscious, then we need to make that time count, don't we? So how do we develop the subconscious to be joyful? Well, the age-old trick of habit and repetition are honestly the strongest ways to influence our subconscious. Which again leads to the actions in our mind in those moments during the day. So specifically, by keeping God's word close and by making an active effort, it will slowly but surely become a part of our inner being. But not only that, there's a key time, just as we're drifting into sleep and waking up in the morning, where our brain is in the state of what we call a super learning or a conscious state, where we can massively influence our subconscious mind. So this can be a very positive or a very negative thing. Specifically in our lives as believers, it's time for meditating on God's word and reflecting on our blessings as we drift into sleep and as we wake up in the mornings, because it does have a lasting effect on our inner being. So as a side note, there's other ways to trigger this state of super learning and changing our subconscious. But it's a much broader topic than we have room to look into today. But this state of super learning, it's great for most people, but it's difficult to obtain. And again, the most reliable way is just consistency to change our subconscious mind, that repetition and habit. By making effort every single day to pray, to meditate, and to take God's words into our minds as often as we can, by the reading of his word, discussing with others and listening to his word. Only then can we rewire our subconscious to focus more fully on God and his ways, and to gradually change our minds to a more joyful state. And it's not easy, but through that knowledge of our God and his plan for us and for the earth, it becomes possible. So, just a few thoughts to wrap us up this morning. In the start of 1 John, it's a book, it always amazes me. It's an incredibly positive message with so much comfort and advice for us. I just want to look at the very opening portion of 1 John. And it begins with a firm declaration of God and his Son, and then is immediately followed by something good. So let's read 1 John verses 1 through 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our heart, with our hands, concerning the word of life, the life that was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaim to you the eternal life which was the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So there we have the declaration. And the very next verse is the key to focus on this morning. And we are waiting and we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. So the entire point of 1 John is that our joy may be made complete. Wow, that's something great, isn't it? So I encourage you all at some stage to look through 1 John with this idea of joy in mind and see the massive confidence that we can have in our God and his guidance when we embed his character into our inner being, our subconscious mind. So when it comes to joy, who is our ultimate example? Yes, it's our Lord Jesus, who showed us by his life how we can serve our God to the fullest with joy in our hearts. We read at the end of 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, "This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and that this life is found in his Son." So this week, pray for joy, not a temporary joy, but pray for a deep joy for our inner being, which can be built on the saving name of our Lord Jesus. But we also must make the utmost effort to take the words of our Lord from the pages of the Bible and take it into our inner being every single day so that it changes our hearts and our minds. So the final passage for this morning, from Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, which outlines our entire reason for being here this morning for the service of remembrance. In Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God."